Blog Talk Radio.
Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show brought to you by Tractor Supply, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, and national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program. Today is Wednesday, October 9th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, I welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our newly redesigned website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter, approaching 7,000 fans, and you can become a fan on Facebook, 72,000 plus fans, more than any other poultry-related Facebook page in the world. Thank you, fans. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by our good friends over at Tractor Supply.
You need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Do you provide a heat source for your backyard chickens in the winter? In most cases, it's not necessary. But if you choose to provide a heat source for your backyard chickens, it's imperative to use a safe and effective heat source, and the only one I recommend is the Sweeter Heater. The Sweeter Heater is a safe, completely sealed, washable, non-breakable, energy-efficient, long-lasting, and reliable specific area heater that comes with a 3-year warranty. Ditch the dangerous heat lamp this season and invest in the only heater I recommend, the Sweeter Heater. Purchase the Sweeter Heater online at sweeterheater.com. That's sweeterheater.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice
continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Congratulations, congratulations, congratulations.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We've got another great show for you today. It is the second Wednesday of the month, and that means All About Quail with the Quail Lady, Alexandra Douglas. So she's going to be here continuing her subject of nutrition. If you missed her last three official shows here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, you can listen to the archive at blogtalkradio.com, podcast.com, zoom.com, and, of course, iTunes.com. But we are going to be continuing today when she joins us all about nutrition and the quail. So you have to, you got to love it. And so we've had great shows all week. Yesterday we had the Livestock Conservancy on. They were here talking about their name change and the upcoming annual conference that they've got coming up next month. And on Monday we had a great educational show with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. Today will be no exception as well. And then tomorrow, we've got Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, coming on talking about long-term food storage. So it's been a great week, and we'll wrap it up tomorrow for this beautiful long fall weekend we're going to have coming up. We're definitely looking forward to it. I'm sure that you are too, but we'll wrap up the week tomorrow with Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, talking all about long-term food storage. So I hope you can tune in tomorrow. As always, let me send a shout out to the homeschoolers that listen to the show. There's a lot of you. And thanks for incorporating the show into your daily curriculum. All the over-the-road truck drivers we hear from, keep the rubber on the road, my friends. And, of course, the live listeners and the thousands of archive listeners, we thank you very much for tuning in. And, of course, all the retail stores across the country stream this radio show live with their listeners every day. We thank you very much. No business is doing well. So I do have a little chickens in the news for you today. Let me get over here to where I stored it. And then kind of interesting, again, just as yesterday, I'll post these chickens in the news segments we talk about on our Facebook page so you can read it for yourself. And like I always have said, thanks to my good buddy who recently passed away, Phil, who kind of coined the phrase for our podcast / radio show. We report and you decide, but as my friend Phil says, Andy, your show is the only fair and balanced show out there because chickens have both a left wing and a right wing. So there you have it, folks. God bless you, Phil. I miss you, buddy. All right, this comes to us from Popular Science Magazine, and the headlining is, Will a chicken that's fed lemons taste like lemons? So, very, very interesting. A recent New York Times story looked into the high-end chicken market. These are chickens in stark contrast to factory chickens fed with produce that's out of the price range of most humans. David Burke of New York City's most prominent chefs and several others was a contestant on Top Chef Masters and has a line of flavor sprays, chimed in with this head scratcher. Listen, if the chickens ate ginger and lemon, you would have a gingery lemon chicken, I think. A ginger lemon chicken sounds fantastic, but wait a second, is that scientifically possible? Well, let me tell you, if it's ever posted on a blog or backyardchickens.com, it's probably scientifically correct. That's all I've got to say. Believe what you want. Basic question first, does what you eat affect your flavor? Using you here is kind of odd, assuming that you don't intend to be eaten later. Anyway, the answer is certainly in a general way, what an animal eats has an effect on its fat, how much of it is there, what texture it is, where it is, and yes, what it tastes like. Some compounds do end up in the vat, says Dr. Annie King of the University of California at Davis Department of Animal Science. That's where you're getting a lot of flavor from, but not all flavors eaten by the animal will be carried over into the flavor of the meat. Some compounds, like salts and water soluble, are water soluble, and others will be metabolized by the animal's organs before they ever make it to the tissue or fat. But some fat solubles, volatile flavor compounds, will survive mostly unscathed through the digestion process and make their way into fat cells in the animal's body. So you can impart specific flavors by feeding an animal specific things. The challenge of flavoring meat by alternating the feed, help, is that many of the strongest flavors, lemon flavors, say, are micronutrients that can't make up the majority of an animal's diet. If some component of feed, like corn, makes up the majority of an animal's diet through its life, that will definitely flavor the meat. But lemons are never going to make up a great portion of an animal's diet in large quantities. These flavorful micronutrients might actually be harmful. So, and it goes on and on and on and on. It's on. But it is an awesome study. So maybe, I mean, it really is. It's a great article, and I'm going to post it on our Facebook page. It's just too long to take the time to read the entire thing. But it makes you go, so maybe we should start feeding some A1 to our cows. A little lemon pepper to our chickens, maybe some teriyaki in the feed. you know what I'm saying? Oh, maybe. I wonder if we could have bacon-flavored chicken. Start giving my chickens bacon every day, and next thing you know, I've got maybe bacon to our cows, and we'll automatically have bacon flavor. We won't have to wrap filet mignon anymore with bacon. It'll just be bacon-flavored filet mignon. I don't know. Popular Science, you can read it. We'll post it on our Facebook page a little bit later after the show, but it does make you think, right? But I remember that Purina did a very interesting study at their farm up there in Missouri, and where they would show folks, visitors to their scientific farm up there, where they would give chickens some red food coloring feed or blue food coloring feed, and how fast that actually turns the color of the inside of the egg within just a matter of a couple of days. The eggs are starting to turn blue and red, or whatever color they gave food coloring into the feed. It was pretty fascinating. So, very interesting. A lot of people, you know, they drink milk from goats or cows, and the cows ate a lot of onions out in the field. The milk will have a little bit of a onion flavor to it. We've all heard that, but we haven't heard any scientific reports about if a chicken eats this, that, or the other, that the egg will taste different. That the egg may not taste like onions if they eat several onions. But we don't know about the meat. But I will post that a little bit later on our Facebook page, and all you can read that. And again, we'll report, and you can decide. How about that? All right, it's about 15 past the hour, which means we're going to head over here to the phone lines and bring on my good friend Alexandra Douglas, the Quail Lady, and she is going to continue today with more information about nutrition and quail. So let's give her a big chicken whisperer a welcome. Hey, Quail Lady, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yeah, that sounds great. No problems, and it sounds like
okay.
You're using that headset, and yes, absolutely loud and clear, and we can get a sound check in the chat room as well from our live listeners that happen to, yep, sounds good, Christmas Chick says, so absolutely awesome. Well, I'm not going to take any more of your time, because today we're going to continue all about nutrition, and if we have a little sound later, we'll run until 1:30. I'll take a break probably around 10 till 1, another commercial break, and then we can run till 1:30 or to whenever you're finished before then. If you need the whole time, we'll take the whole time. But I know you wanted to finish up on nutrition, and possibly if we have enough time to do it justice, another topic. If not, we can delay it until the next time you're on. So I will turn it over to you, my friend.
Okay. Yes, I decided that I'll continue with nutrition so that two topics don't get overwhelming for everybody. The next topic
okay,
after
great.
Nutrition I feel that it's very important that we talk about lighting and the quail eye. Before I start with nutrition, it has become fall right now, so the season is changing. I walked outside today, and it's nice and cool, and for Florida, that is amazing. Nobody is panting, and the quail are nice and quiet. So I keep getting emails lately on why are my quail not laying, and the three main keys to determine whether the bird is not ready to lay or if there are environmental concerns involved are to make sure that the housing is away from predators that will disturb the birds. Many people have quail outside, especially coturnics, because they do smell. Their waste smells tremendously if not cleaned frequently. And cats love quail, and dogs will be curious, and raccoons, opossums, all sorts of predators, which there, you posted a really interesting article on free-range birds and how, you know, being free-range can cause more stress than being confined. Well, quail love to be confined rather than out in the open. So predators do cause a lot of stress. And I did have a cat incident where they kept coming inside the barn, and I wasn't getting eggs for months, and I found out what was the problem. Get rid of the cats, quail started laying eggs. Lighting plays a key role in laying activity, so you have to make sure that the lighting is at least 14 to 16 hours, and this is uninterrupted light. Therefore, because if they are outside and they're getting natural sunlight, you will have to add 2 hours to the day of a light. This is also with your chicken. If you want production during the season, you're going to have to add lighting. Now, too much or not enough will delay the hens from laying. Another problem that I have noticed is that, once again, I did not have eggs, and there was a scientific article, and a deer breeder friend told me that, of course, everybody needs rest. If you have so much light, you're not going to be able to sleep or rest. So give the birds 4 days of darkness and then turn on the lights, and they will start laying again. Well, I had so far 2 days of darkness, and we walked to the quail barn, and what did we see? Eggs again. So that worked. So, yes, 14 to 16 hours of uninterrupted light is ideal, but they do need a rest. So probably once a month, give them a couple days of pure darkness, and that will alleviate the issue of them not laying. Because too much or not enough will cause them to stress out too. And as always, which leads to my nutrition wrap-up, always check the feed label. Coturnics are a high-protein-needing bird. Make sure that the birds are getting at least 24% or more. The preference is 28% or more, up to 33%. You can even go higher to 34%. There are Missouri products out there for game birds that have a 34% protein. They do require a high protein due to their fast growth and metabolism. If they do not receive that high protein, you're going to have cannibalism. You're going to have a delay of egg production and lots of vitamin and mineral deficiencies. People think that they can feed game birds like chicken, because game birds obviously are birds, and birds all, you know, get the same stuff. But that's not true. They need a game bird starter or game bird maintenance, but the protein level is very important. Chick starter is high in protein, about 18% or more. I feed all my chickens 20% chick starter because a high protein diet is essential. And that is still not sufficient for the quail, because chickens require different components than quail. They have a different metabolism, and they have a different body structure than quail. They don't produce as fast. If quail receive the chick starter, they can get what's called salt toxicity, lots of vitamin problems, and they just don't thrive as well. Yes, there are people that say that their quail do fine on chick starter. They haven't had any problems. They lay better. A blogger said this, and I'm following the blogger, or I went on Backyard Chickens, and this is what happened. But, you know, you really have to do your research, and it's protein. Protein is key. And no, it's not overdosing your birds on protein. It is their body. It is how they function. And so why are my quail not laying? Before you decide that you have to get rid of your quail, because obviously, you know, the quail lady said that they're going to lay at 6 weeks and it's already 12 weeks and I got no eggs, consider options, because I have been through this and, you know, I've been told 6 weeks and birds started laying at 12 weeks and then, you know, a cat goes in the barn or the timer on the lighting didn't go off. And so they got 48 hours of uninterrupted lighting instead of, you know, the 16 hours. And sometimes the feed wasn't exactly 28%, or it was lacking something. I got a bad batch. 20% of birds died from salt toxicity. There's always an issue. Never blame the bird. So I'm going to start with that, because it is the fall time and then it's going to become winter. So if you want production, quail can lay all year round if given that environmental control. I like to have them indoors because of predators. I like to have that lighting. It's easier for, you know, rain and in areas that there's snow. It doesn't snow in Florida, but, you know, in Oregon it snowed. So it's better to have them inside for me, but some people like them outside. And yes, Coturnix especially can do fine outside. In my next radio section, I'm going to talk about lighting in the eye, but I'm going to talk about several species and how they adapt to cold, and some do better than others. So I'll be talking about that too, since the weather is changing all over the states. But for now, I'm going to talk about nutrition, because nutrition is a very important topic. And I did go over my time last time with it, and I would like to continue. But protein is key.
A quick question here in the chat room before I forget and it scrolls out on my site. Christmas Chick on the chat room was asking, when we were talking about last show, about catfish food was 32%, and you could give them that. And she was curious about how much, about half game bird and half catfish food, or just sprinkle a little bit on top of their daily ration, or she was just wondering how much catfish food would be appropriate.
Well, the main diet should be that game bird starter. The catfish food, I would give, it really depends on the amount of quail and your feeder. If I had a really big feeder, I would, you know, if I was using for example, a quart of game bird starter, I would put, a couple tablespoons of the catfish and mix it in. If I was doing the quart, but if I was using, you know, more than that, you know, you put, it's basically a trial and error. It will increase that protein level, and it won't hurt them. The more protein, the better. It's when you're adding corn to the diet. I learned my lesson fast with that. You know, adding corn is just basically having fat birds, and, you know, it lowers the protein level tremendously. So, and I found out recently, you know, I was trying to sprout some barley, and I bought a $34 bag of barley, a 50-pound bag, which, you know, that's a lot of money for a bag of barley. I couldn't sprout a darn thing. Nothing would sprout. I tried in a fish system. I tried in a closed environment. I tried in my little jars. Nothing. So I came to the conclusion that it was GMO, and I'm not going to feed them to the birds, but, you know, I got to use it somehow, so... But it wouldn't sprout. So I'm worried about the feed, you know, the feed bags now, and how some people are saying that the birds are dying at, you know, a young age, and it might be feed related. It might not be, but I'm also going to talk about later on in the sections about raising chicks and how there is an expected death loss during the first week. But it is getting frustrated with feed and knowing what exactly is in that feed label that they're not telling you. The best suggestion would be growing your own crops, but it's hard. So as I mentioned, protein is very important because it is basically the building blocks for making the plant and animal tissue that I discussed. Eight of the 20 known amino acids cannot be synthesized, and we provide them in the diet by adding animal tissue or more plant matter in the feed. Alternatives to proteins is the catfish food that I mentioned. I love alfalfa sprouts. If you can find organic alfalfa sprouts, organic barley, that $34 went down the drain. Alfalfa is quite expensive too. If you can find wholesale organic anything, you can sprout it. In my book, Quaternix Revolution, I do have an appendix, toxic plants, toxic and good plants. And if you have the book, do look in it, because if it's sproutable, I would do it because the birds love sprouts. But alfalfa is the only plant that supplies that full range of vitamins, of vitamin A, B complex, B12, C, E, and K, which are also high in protein. And you can order them online or get them at your organic grocery stores. But the reason I say organic is that organic tends to sprout much better. I find that the more inexpensive you get it, they won't sprout. I learned my lesson the hard way, and I don't want people to waste their money on something that's not going to work and then give up, because giving up is not the right way. And, you know, spend your money on good stuff. But I've seen that some people have been starting the sprouting, and I hope it's working. But Quaternix chicks, Quaternix, any species of quail, those alfalfa sprouts are good for them. Also, they're good for you too. So it's kind of a win-win situation. You grow alfalfa sprouts, and you can eat them yourself. So it's awesome. Mealworms are another way to grow. You can order a breeding colony on the internet or at pet stores. Bait shops also have them. It is recommended that you order them in large groups so that you have the option to turn them into pupa the fastest. A good starter number is about 50 to 200 worms. They have about four stages in their development, which is the egg, larva, pupa, and beetle, all of which are edible, except the egg is really hard to separate the egg. But the larva is what, you know, the birds will love. Many people have been dehydrating mealworms, which will get all of that fat content out, but save that protein. The birds do like things that wiggle, though. So if you feed them about 2 to 3 mealworms every other day, it won't hurt them. But do not use them as the sole ration of their diet. This is like a supplement of their protein requirements, but it's really high in fat. I would assume that if you're dehydrating them, you can feed them more because it has less of that fat content. I feed them live because the birds, it's an enrichment process for them. They love it. They love to chase the mealworms, run around the cage, and it's just fun to watch them. More of an enjoyment for myself, I mean. But if I wanted to be more healthy on the birds, I would dehydrate them, which I probably will during the winter time, because the birds are probably going to be more calmer since it's colder. But with the lighting, that may be different. So the amount of food intake depends on their metabolizable energy. So it depends on the diet, age of the birds, and their reproductive status, but also their ambient temperatures. Therefore, if it's colder, they're going to require more energy than when it's hotter, because if they're really hot, they're probably going to eat less. I've noticed that when it's colder, you know, they have to stay warm, so they're going to eat more. In my book, I list all of the requirements in a quail diet, but if I go through each number, it's going to be very, very boring. And people are going to get lost if I just go, oh, this kilocalories per kilogram, this and that. But I'm going to go through each of the vitamins and the importance of each vitamin. Now, when you're reading the label in the back of your feed bag, there are preservatives in there. But don't think that it's bad for your bird. It's to keep the food from going rancid, because when the food goes rancid, you get some vitamin deficiencies and you can get diseases of the nervous system and other causes. I'm going to talk about the vitamins, minerals, and all of the other requirements, but I'm going to talk about them in more detail so that you know what is in your feed label, or if you're feeding them snacks, you know what is in the snacks as well. Vitamins may be categorized as fat soluble, which is the vitamins A, vitamins D, vitamin E, and vitamin K, or water soluble, which are the vitamin B complex vitamins. Many vitamins are quite stable, but they deteriorate rapidly when they're exposed to sunlight, air, heat, and other factors. If you have your birds outside, they get that vitamin D from the sunlight, as well as getting the vitamin D from their feed. Vitamin D comes in a synthetic form as well. But when they're housed inside, they're entirely dependent on the vitamins that are in their feed. Therefore, that is why you feed them that Game Bird Starter or Game Bird Maintenance. I like the Game Bird Starter because it has everything in a higher amount, so the birds produce more. But they are highly dependent on these vitamins. When they're indoors, they have no access to their natural supply of these nutrients. So this is why the majority of the feed should be in their designated game bird feed. If you have chick starter, that they'll lack certain amounts of the vitamins and the birds will have issues later on. I want to emphasize this. If you're breeding game birds, any form of game birds, that term, what you are, you know, what you eat is what you are. Like if my orchestra professor told me, you know, if you eat Twinkies every single day, you're going to become a big fat Twinkie. And I wanted to put that quote in the book in the nutrition section, but not very many people would understand what I meant, because that was in high school and we did have some professors that taught classes because it was a more prestigious high school. But you are what you eat. So if you're feeding your adult breeders a low quality feed that is it's not low quality for other species or breeds, but it's low quality for that species because it's not made for them, they are going to produce lower quality birds that do not thrive as much. And then each generation, it's going to become worse until the bird is just so weak, people are not going to want to raise them because they drop dead, because they have too many problems and they don't come to terms with their name. Game birds are hardy birds normally. You know, people hunt them. They're flighty. Coturnics especially are docile and, you know, they're fast producing. But if you continue feeding them that game that chick starter, every generation, they're going to lay later and later until they lay at the same amount, same time frame as a chicken, and it's worthless. They are meant to be what they are, so they need that game bird feed so that it can, they continue to follow to their name. So vitamin A assures that adequate growth and a means of assisting the bird's resistance to disease. It is essential for their normal vision, their egg production, and reproduction. Laying quail receiving insufficient vitamin A produce fewer eggs, and eggs produced frequently do not hatch. You can have them laying fertile eggs. You incubate those eggs, and you get what we call early deads or dead in shell, DIS is what the lab calls them. And it's frustrating because you candle them right before you put them into the hatcher and you get nothing out of in return. You think that it's the incubator at fault, but in actuality, they're missing that vitamin A in their diet. And I'm seeing a lot of this in people's eggs, egg hatching online. And they're blaming incubators, they're blaming breeders. We just all have to come into a consensus on, you know, put our money together and actually buy the proper feed for the birds and work together on maintaining the birds, their standards, and what they actually need so that they can continue being a good, hardy bird to raise for meat, eggs, pets, etc. The recommended dosage is 3,200 IUs of vitamin A per kilogram of the diet. So that's a lot. Chicken feed does not contain that much. I believe they require much less, but I may not be quite sure. Vitamin A may be found in its precursor, carotene, which is present in green vegetable matter or yellow corn. And yes, I said yellow corn, but you can grow corn that is non-GMO too. I prefer, you know, if you grow your own corn, possibly you can add that to the diet with no problems. But, you know, there's always a limit to how much you feed your birds too. But green vegetable matter contains that carotene, which is vitamin A, and that is a good source. So if you're growing your own food and you have green vegetable matter, yellow corn, and you want to add vitamin A to your bird's diet, there you go. Vitamin D is very important. For us humans, vitamin D is in sunlight. Without vitamin D, we get depression, we're sleepy. That's why every time it rains, everybody wants to stay inside, lay in bed. Well, birds are the same way. They don't want to be as productive. The vitamin D aids the absorption of calcium and phosphorus from the intestinal tract and the deposition of calcium on the eggshell. The form of vitamin D that quail absorb is vitamin D3. So vitamin D is associated with sunlight because sunlight provides that iridation that stimulates the manufacture of vitamin D in the skin of the birds. Adding what I do, because barns can be, you know, dark and gloomy too, adding a full spectrum vitamin D lamp can suffice that vitamin D requirement on top of their feed. Parrot breeders do this when they're breeding parrots because parrots are very tropical birds. And by providing a full spectrum lamp, which can, if you go on parrot breeding sites, you can get that light bulb and put it in the regular light socket and add some nice vitamin D for your birds. And they feel not, you know, they feel happy because it's adding that extra sunlight. But it adds that vitamin D requirement as well as what is provided in the game bird feed. So, they do have for humans, I know this is you know, a different topic for humans. They also have vitamin D lamps that aids in depression. If you're inside an office all day long, you can get cabin fever. So having that vitamin D lamp will aid you too. So that is what vitamin D is very important in the bird's diet, any bird's diet, including the quail. But adding that full spectrum light can help too if you're in states like Washington tends to be very rainy. Oregon tends to be gloomy as well from personal experience. Florida, we get that rain and hurricane type weather. So sunlight is important, and there are always ways to help. Vitamin E is very important as well. If a bird, any bird, gets a deficiency of vitamin E, it causes a weird nervous system disease or disorder. We call it crazy chick disease. They walk, they almost looks as though they have Merrick's. You know, they're walking, they have weird, they're walking backwards or in circles, walking very oddly, almost as though their muscles are not working right. And or it's also called encephalomalacia. It occurs when the diet contains unsaturated fats that are susceptible to rancidity, and that is the importance of having some of those preservatives in that feed so that it doesn't have this occurring. Now, some feed can go bad, or they're older feeds, so always look at the dates on that feed, because if you are noticing this, usually the first thing that comes to your mind, oh my goodness, my flock has Merrick's, I'm doomed, my whole flock is doomed, I need to cull everybody. But it may be that your feed went bad, and the preservatives made the vitamin E go rancid, and you have what's called crazy chick disease, which can also occur in the adults. I had a white rock rooster that was doing this, and I knew that something was up with him, and I didn't think it was Merrick's because he was already a rooster, and Merrick's usually occurs with younger flocks. And so I did give him some vitamins, and it did help him, but he didn't thrive like the other guys and didn't make it, but at least I tried. But I had a feeling that it was vitamin E deficiency because he was walking in circles. He couldn't go to his food because he was walking in circles constantly, almost as though he hit the wall too many times. So several antioxidant compounds are usually added to prevent the fat from going bad in feed, and these usually go to preservatives in your feed that you purchase. Other options in adding vitamin E to the diet are whole grains, horse oats, barley, alfalfa meal are also best sources for vitamin E. Egg yolks also contain a high source of vitamin E. So you can hard boil some eggs as a treat to your birds. Sprouting that alfalfa will help, giving them some whole grains to their diet occasionally. They're all good sources of vitamin E. A certain amount is added to game bird starter or game bird maintenance, but sometimes you don't know if they add that right amount in the feed. You're not there at the facility. You don't see what they're doing. So it's kind of a 50-50 kind of trust because you don't know. So adding some food to their diet is not bad at all if you know what they contain. Now adding cat food or, you know, because, oh, cat food has some vitamin E in it or vitamin D, vitamin A, you know. No, that's not a good choice. But healthier foods, not cat food. But it is 10 to 1, so let's take our break, and then I'll continue.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you so much, folks. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with All About Quail with Quail Lady, Alexandra Douglas, and we will go to break. When we come back, she will continue talking all about nutrition. So this is kind of part two from part one we had 2 weeks ago when she was on, but we will continue more about nutrition and quail when we return after this short break. So stay with us, folks. There's more to come.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com. Introducing the Chicken Fountain, a new way to water your flock. The Chicken Fountain will change your life and keep your chickens healthier by providing clean, fresh water every time. No more daily cleaning of dirty chicken waterers. This semi-sealed system keeps every drop of water fresh and clean. Proudly made in the USA, the Chicken Fountain will provide your flock with fresh, clean water for years to come. To order your Chicken Fountain, visit chickenfountain.com. That's chickenfountain.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
All everybody. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is the second Wednesday of the month, which means today is all about Quail with the Quail Lady, Alexandra Douglas, and she joins us the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. So please mark your calendars and tune in as we learn more and more about quail. And just a reminder, tomorrow I welcome the publisher of Back Home Magazine, Richard Frudenberger. He's going to be talking about some long-term food stories. So we hope you can join us tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. All righty, Alexandra, thanks for reminding me about the break, and it is now time to continue. And like I said, whenever you wrap up, you wrap up. That's fine. I know you didn't want to go into two subjects in one show, and that's perfectly fine. So if you wrap up early, that's fine with me. If you take till 1:30, that's fine with me, too. We just want to get the good, right information to all of our listeners.
All right. Well, I'm continuing on with all the important vitamins and minerals so that if you are growing your own crops or if you are you have anything to share of your quail, you know what they contain. Vitamin.
Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt. I was wondering if I could ask one question before I forget. I don't know if he or she has to, how soon she has to sign off or go, but they did have a question for you in the chat room, and I want to get to that because they may have to leave and, you know, go to work or get, go back from break or whatever. But while they're listening here, somebody wanted to know, at what age would you retire your laying quail? They have some that are 1.5 years old, and they're just not sure how much longer they will lay and when really signs or is there a date or just, you know, to try to monitor their laying. But she's got some that are 1.5 years, and they're just kind of wondering when should you kind of retire the laying quail?
Well, if you are replacing your quail, usually producers will replace them twice a year. Because you're continuously replacing your stock, you're continuously getting eggs so that you can feed your family as well. That's my plan, at least. But quail will lay until they die. It won't be every single day that they lay. It may be every other day. It can be once a week, but they will lay until they die. But normally a quail will live 2 to 3 years. I've had a quail. My latest quail lived until 7.5 years, but and I have a female that's going on 5 years, and she's still laying. But if you want to retire 2 years, or you know, split up a year, 1 year, and just continuously replacing your birds. But if it's a good layer and you want, you know, and it's a pet, you might as well just have her continuously laying until her time's up. But they will lay until they die, pretty much. Any bird will lay until they pass on. They don't have what they call henopause or menopause. They will lay.
Okay.
But if you want to replace, you can replace every year, twice a year. It is your call, really.
Good information.
Yeah, most producers do twice a year. I try to do twice a year, if not once a year. So we'll continue doing vitamin with the vitamins before we get to the minerals. Vitamin K is also very important because it is a synthesis of prothrombin, which is the necessary chemical for blood clotting. And just like humans, you know, if you have this deficiency and you cut yourself, you will bleed to death pretty much. So vitamin K is very important. And vitamin K is in a lot of green foods, especially lucerne meal. There's a synthetic form, water-soluble form of vitamin K3, which is usually added to the diet for quail. But vitamin K is just like every human and mammal, very important so that we don't bleed out, other than butchering a bird, but we're not going to go there. Vitamin B complex, B vitamins are very well distributed in cereals and grains, that deficiencies are normally unlikely to occur. The purpose of B vitamins are to assist quail in achieving their optimum growth. So usually feed will have that amount of cereals and grains. You can provide that as well. It is low in protein, so don't give them too much of the cereals and grains. Other than barley, barley is sprouted, it's high in protein. Alfalfa is good. But usually there's no deficiencies that occur with the distributed vitamins. Thiamine is needed for the metabolism of carbohydrates. Because Quaternics have such a fast growth rate, they need a high requirement for thiamine since, you know, they grow so fast. They have that really high metabolism, which chick feeds doesn't have as much of. So that's one of the reasons why if you feed them, you know, the lower protein feeds, they will have that those ingredients that are less than what that bird requires, and they won't thrive as much. Riboflavin is very important. If you hatch a bird and they have what, you know, the curled toes, sometimes it's the incubator's problem, you know, with low humidity, that the bird stayed in that egg too long. So when they come out, those toes are very curled, and that you have to straighten them out if they do straighten out. Sometimes with quail chicks being so small that they will pass on because they're just not as thrifty as the other birds and they won't thrive and usually get trampled before you can save them. If you have large groups, if you have smaller groups, you can put them in a little yogurt cup and they sometimes can get over it. That's also with splayed legs. But when birds have a riboflavin deficiency, they also have this curled toe paralysis, but they grow much slower than the other quail. And this is where you get a higher mortality because they're not getting they're not absorbing all of their nutrients from the feed because their body isn't made as well as it should be. So if you're seeing a lot of small chicks and they're dropping out, it's usually meant to be. It's not really, if you want to save them, you can save them to eat them or if you're going to have them as a pet, but they're not really, they shouldn't be breeder birds, mainly because they may have riboflavin deficiency. And if the breeders are fed a game bird starter, it could just be a fluke in the system because not everyone is born perfect. Not everyone is hatched perfect. It could be down in generation. Somebody had a riboflavin deficiency and the breeder didn't know that they had it and it passed on. This is also called epigenes, where environment plays a role in genetic mutations instead of, you know, passing on from gene to gene. Environment changes one's genetic composition, and that's what spreads. Nicotinic acid is important. Without it, the bird doesn't grow. They don't open their eyes as often. They don't have that activity they should have, and their muscles are not working, so they don't do very well. It is suggested to feed growing quail 40 milligrams per kilogram of nicotinic acid. This is usually in their game bird's food. So if you're seeing a marked atrophy of their pectoral muscles and they're not really opening their eyes that much and they're slow, then they also probably have some internal problems that you cannot save. I do recommend if you're seeing a lot of these issues that you can boost their immune systems, especially if they've been shipped and showing these issues, to give them some Nutridench to their water or directly to each of their beaks to boost their vitamins and minerals for a couple days. But other than that, if they hatch this way or you're breeding and you're noticing these issues, then it is best to, you know, put them down or get some new blood in before the matter gets worse, because you don't want to have bad genes pass on, because we don't want generations to be spreading poorly. We want them to be strong. We want the genes to be strong, their immune systems to be strong. And if you are noticing these, you know, deficiencies, then something has to be changed. A supplementary level of 7.5 milligrams of the calcium pantothenate per kilogram is needed in purified diets to prevent mortality and a normal of growth and featherings. Without this, you get a lot of curled feathers. Curled feathers can also be a genetic trait too, but you can notice a lot of feathering issues if there's a lack of pantothenic acid in their diet. Breeding quail need an added 15 milligrams of this supplementary pantothenic acid in their diet. Pantothenic acid deficient hens passed on embryonic mortality late in the incubation period. The embryos are hemorrhagic, and embryos hatch with crooked legs if they show deficiencies in pantothenic acids. Usually the feed does contain enough. The game bird starter contains a significant enough. So I've noticed that breeding quail do not really need that added dose. It's usually if they're fed a lower protein diet that they don't contain that much of that pantothenic acid amount. Choline is important for a maximum growth of quail and to prevent porosis. With dietary choline, hatchability is supported, egg production is supported, and you can get that maximum egg weight that you want. Without choline, you get smaller eggs, hatchability is decreased, egg production is decreased, and it really can be a havoc in your breeders, especially if you're selecting for large hens, large cocks, large eggs, and all you're getting are smaller results. Folic acid is very important. Without folic acid in a diet, you can have lots of growing problems, poor feathering, mortality is high, leg weakness, cervical paralysis. Therefore, laying hens will have issues too. Anemia is an issue, and curled toes is another issue of folic acid deficiencies. Usually, feed contains a gelatin-based diet of casein, which helps the birds. I haven't seen very many cases of folic acid deficiency, more so of riboflavin that causes the toe paralysis in quail. So if there is a toe paralysis issue, it's normally due to incubation malfunctions of, not really an incubation malfunction, but a need for humidity, or that they need some more vitamin B2, which is riboflavin. Another important vitamin is biotin. Biotin is used for body weight and also another important need for an increase in egg production. There is a need for supplementary biotin in the quail diet, and Game Bird Starter has a really good dosage of that. In my book, it does describe all of the requirements, the nutrient requirements in the quail diet, all the numbers, the kilocalories per kilogram that you need, and everything that's important. So if I don't mention the numbers, it's in there. You can always email me, and I can give you the number, too, if you don't have the book. Cobalamin, which is vitamin B12, is a requirement for the development of normal red blood cells and also hatchability. Substantial quantities of this vitamin B complex are found in all ingredients in the feed. But here's the thing. The vitamin B12, which is cobalamin, is only found in the foods of animal origin. So all of this vegetarian diets for feed not containing animal byproducts can be detrimental for your bird, because animals, birds need protein, and the protein is most beneficial when it's animal protein. So cobalamin is vitamin B12 is only found in foods of the animal origin. So if you want to still stick to the vegetarian formulas, you will have to give them mealworms or crickets, because those are an alternative to meat, because those are technically meat. But you can also raise fish, or you can feed them, you know, beef or other forms of meat as well. But it is very, very important to give them that animal protein. I'm stressing this, and this is why sometimes birds don't produce as well, is because they don't have cobalamin in their diet. And I look at labels and I see no animal byproducts or a vegetarian formula, and I kind of shake my head when I see that, because birds are not vegetarians. They need meat. So for those that don't want to, you know, feed their animals meat, that, you know, birds are pets, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, sometimes you need to eat meat. You can't convert a bird to be a vegetarian when they need it. If it's essential for their body, it's essential for their growth. Quail or that kind of animal, they need it. So cobalamin is very important. Now, besides protein, carbohydrates, fats, and vitamins, minerals are very important as well. They can be divided into macrominerals or microminerals. The macros are required in larger amounts and are often structured parts of acid-base elements: calcium, phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, salt, magnesium are all considered macrominerals. The microminerals are associated in activation or integrated parts of enzymes. They include cobalt, copper, iodide, iron, manganese, selenium, and zinc. These minerals make up 3-5% of a quail's body, which is a lot, because a quail is smaller than other breeds or species. Since minerals cannot be synthesized, they have to be provided in a diet. Calcium and phosphorus are very important. The main function of these two minerals is the makeup of the bones of the body. Without these, the bird would not thrive. The bird would not live. It would just be a lifeless body. Calcium is essential for the deposition of the eggshell. It is not only that calcium and phosphorus are required in a sufficient quantity, but they have to be in that correct proportion. For young growing quail, the ratio should be 1-1 or 2-1. They need a minimum of 0.8% of the diet as calcium and 0.45% as available phosphorus. The laying quail needs about 2.5% to 3% of calcium, since it's the main constituent of the eggshell. Now, to provide that extra percentage of calcium, because game bird starter doesn't provide that sufficient calcium level, but does provide the phosphorus level they need, you can add calcium carbonate, which is oyster shells, to their dustpans, and they will get that calcium that they need. Do it as a free choice. Just they'll bathe in it, and they'll they usually will peck at what they want. There's the pullet, Tractor Supply sells the pullet-sized oyster shells, and the birds will dust bathe and play in it. It's not bad for their feet at all. And they'll eat the dust. The dust form they'll eat, and then they'll eat the smaller rocks. They'll leave the bigger rocks behind, and then you can refill it as needed. Fish meal, meat and bone meal, and milk products are good supplemental sources of calcium phosphorus. Now, milk products I don't really recommend, but fish meal, meat and bone meal, I do recommend. Fish meal, if you're raising tilapia, that is, you know, you can grind up the offal, the bone and everything, and there's your fish meal. Meat, you can give them the leftover of the fish meal as their meat. Mealworms as meat. When you are butchering quail, you can feed the leftovers back to the birds, and that's your meat source too. Bone meal, grind up that bone and give it back to them. Milk products, I do not recommend giving milk to birds. They are lactose intolerant, and you know, you can do as you please, but it is not good for their digestive properties. And I do hear that goat milk has different enzymatic properties, but I haven't proved it, and I haven't read enough on it to say it's a yay. I'm still saying milk products is a nay. But they are all good supplemental sources of calcium and phosphorus. So that's why milk products, I have said it in my book that it's a good phosphorus and calcium component. But I did not say that, you know, I never said in my book that milk you have to feed your birds. Fish meal and meat and bone meal, I emphasize, but never. Milk products is there just for the calcium and phosphorus source. Oyster shell, limestone, tricalcium phosphate, or calcium carbonate are usually added to the feed to supplement the elements as well. I do provide oyster shell in my dust baths for the calcium carbonate requirement. Calcium carbonate, they can absorb it in their blood and their systems, and it perfect calcium requirement, and they love to play in those dust baths. Magnesium is another mineral. It's essential for tissue and body fluids. Its ions serve as activators of important enzymes involved in metabolism. When it isn't in their diets, the quail will grow slow. They will exhibit seizures and convulsions and eventually die. And deficiencies in laying rations produce a rapid drop in egg production. So magnesium is very essential in the diet. Manganese. The main function of manganese is to prevent porosis. I did mention porosis before, but I didn't define it. It is when the Achilles tendon slips off the groove behind the hock joint, so it pulls it sideways and backwards. So you get a deformed bird, basically, and then he doesn't walk properly, and he looks funky. Manganese is required for normal growth, eggshell deposition, egg production, and good hatchability. And everybody wants good hatchability so that we can continually reproduce these birds in a healthy way. Now, manganese is supplemented in game bird starter as manganese sulfate. So if you're looking on your label and you say manganese sulfate, that is the proper form of manganese that's in the diet. Iron, copper, and cobalt are trace elements that are essential for the formation of hemoglobin. Without these trace elements, nutritional anemia occurs. The red blood cells contain iron, and copper is necessary for iron utilization when hemoglobin is formed. And without proper red blood cell formation, the bird is not absorbing proper nutrients in their bloodstream, and they're getting anemic and skinny, and they start wasting away. And we don't want to see that. We want to see fat, healthy, plumpy birds that are good eating, good layers, and good pets. Because quail have many uses, and it's better to have these many uses than seeing something waste away because there's a deficiency involved. That is just traumatic and heartbreaking for many. Cobalt is the integrated part of vitamin B12. Vitamin B12 is the form of cobalamin, which is very, I've mentioned the cobalamin. Sometimes I get tongue-tied. It comes from meat and meat products. And the amount of these elements in the diet is quite specific, and too much can be toxic. Therefore, for cobalt, trust what's on that feed bag. Don't add more than cobalt than what's needed because you can get toxicities, and toxicities are very detrimental for quail. Selenium is an essential element for growing quail, even in the presence of vitamin E. When the levels are low, impaired reproduction is observed. The fertile eggs are viable and hatchable, but the viability of what hatch is reduced. So basically, they hatch and then they die, which is a shame. Zinc is another element that's important. Quaternics are quite sensitive to dietary deficiencies of zinc. Deficiencies include slow growth, abnormal feathering, and labored respiration, which it can include death. I would also trust the feed label on this one and not add anything in. Salt is very important, but also too much salt is no good. In order to properly digest protein and other elements that are involved in the acid-base equilibrium in the body, salt is always needed in the quail diet, but also in our diet as well. Natural feedstuffs usually require a supplemental feeding of salt to satisfy the requirement for sodium and chloride. It is added in the amounts of 0.25 to 0.35%, but I recommend no higher than that. If you see anything higher than that, or even if it says that, but you are noticing labored respiration, convulsions after eating, an increased thirst, or even death, I would pretty much say that salt toxicity has occurred. I had this problem. I had a bad batch of feed. They put too much salt in the quail feed, and I lost a good percentage of birds 1 year. So make sure not to add too much salt, or don't feed your birds feed stuff that is high in salt either. So what I recommend is when you have two bags of feed and you want to mix them together, add it. Add all the percentages of salt, divide it, and get an average of how much percent of salt there is when you combine the feeds. There's a Pearson square in my book, and you can look online about the Pearson square on how much you are actually adding in and how much total percentage, because when you're even if you do the average, that isn't the exact percentage of something. So I recommend looking up Pearson Square online, or if you have my book, go into the nutrition section, and the Pearson Square is there, and you can do your own calculation. Too much salt is detrimental. I do not recommend it. This is why I don't recommend feeding snacks unless it is low in salt, but also it contains the good vitamins that I have recommended. Now, as a snack, I do give some finch seeds to my quaternics diet as a supplement. Quaternics will not thrive on the seed mixes alone, but if you add them to a game bird starter, they do add nutrients that serve very good for to make a healthy bird. The common seeds found in seed mixes are red millet, canary seed grass, white proso seed, Niger thistle seed, and rape seed. The red millet is high in protein, potassium, magnesium, and niacin, which is really good. You can plant your own millet and add it to their diet as well. Canary grass seed has 8 essential amino acids in it, phosphorus, ash, and protein. White proso seed is high in protein, potassium, magnesium, and niacin. With the niacin components, you could also grow this for your ducks because niacin is very important for ducks, ducks and waterfowl in general. Niger thistle seed is more of a more expensive seed, but that's probably why finch seeds have been more expensive lately. It's because of the Niger thistle seeds, but they are very high in protein and have a lot of essential fats. They contain a lot of essential trace minerals as well that the Coturnix needs. And rape seed, which contains the essential fatty acids such as omega-6 and omega-3. The reason I add these to the Coturnix diet as a supplement is because if we do consider them in the wild, what would they eat? There would be no game bird starter. So if you train them earlier, just in case the world goes really bad, that and you grow these seed mixes as supplements, and so that you can save their game bird starter and add these in, that they're still getting really good nutrients, but they're also getting their game bird starter as well. Now I do use thistle seed as a protein supplement, as a treat. I haven't been giving them thistle seed lately because the prices have gone up. But when you do give a Coturnix thistle seed, I have found that the egg size gets larger. So I do see that there is a correlation between that higher protein and essential fats, and then also the egg size on the breeders get larger too, which I'm thinking that they're absorbing all those minerals and letting it out in their eggs, which is a good thing. So you can always start a garden to feed your Coturnix. I mustard greens is also a good start to grow your for your Coturnix, but they do tend to give your birds the runs, so I don't recommend it in large amounts, but mustard greens are good for your own salads as well, but it was my trial for growing anything. But you can grow seeds for your birds. They will like it. Grow corn, fish meal. Well, you can't grow fish meal, but you can grow fish. But there is the composition of a basal diet is usually maize, soybean meal, fish meal, meat and bone meal, ground nut meal, alfalfa meal, skimmed milk powder. I don't understand that portion, but I assume they take some enzymes out if they're skimmed. Sodium chloride, dicalcium phosphate, limestone dust, lysine methionine, and a premix. And the premix contains the minerals that they need and more. I'm going to stop here. The next radio section is going to be on lighting, since we are getting into the winter months, fall and winter months. I'm going to talk about the Coturnix eye, the importance of lighting, heat supplementation, maintaining your adults for the winter, and maintaining your chicks during the winter. And I think that will be good for the next session.
Okay, some questions. It's just as always, hour and a half.
That's fine.
It's chock full of information, and it's such great information. We do have some folks in the chat room. One person asked, you just said something about the seeds and ducks, or ducks and which seed, she was asking?
Oh, anything with niacin. You can grow millet.
Okay.
Niacin is important. Without niacin, riboflavin and niacin is very important for a duck diet. Without those ingredients, the duck can be lame and stop walking. And it's just, they really need that in their diet. Red millet, proso seed, contains the niacin and riboflavin that they need. You can grow millet. That is something you can get in seed. You can actually get all of them in seed if you can find them. I do recommend organic seeds because I'm finding that many seeds that I'm buying are not growing. And if
right.
you can't sprout them, it's going to be really hard to grow them. So sprouting, you can also sprout these seeds and they can get more in nutrition as you sprout them because the first 5 days of sprouting, they're the most nutritious.
And then one last question here. I know a lot of times I've heard that when you go and take, say, vitamins as a human and you take however many units and it's overkill, you don't need it, you basically pee the excess out. It just is waste, or your money is going into the toilet because your body can't absorb it, can't use it, and it's waste, which leads me into my next question regarding the quail. Can we just add the vitamins to the water, and can you accidentally overdose them on vitamins?
As I recall, you can overdose them on vitamins. I only give them vitamins if I'm seeing a weak bird, if I get any shipped birds in the mail, or if I ship birds, I recommend giving vitamins for 2 days. During the summer months, I give my birds vitamin C, 500 milligrams crushed up, and I divide them in their water bottles. Or for automatic water systems, I put 1,000 milligrams in the bucket. And vitamin C, they don't absorb does get flushed out in their systems. But I don't add any unnecessary vitamins unless I see any weaklings. When you hatch out birds, they should do fine on their own diet. Now, I do mash up. I blend their diet to a cornmeal consistency for day-old chicks, for quail chicks. I mix it with water for the first 2 days so that if they don't understand how to use the nipple watering system or the water bottles, they have that water in their food, so they don't drop out due to dehydration. They have water in their food, and they are getting – it's kind of like fermented food because they are absorbing that food more.
Okay.
But I don't give them vitamins because overdosing on vitamins in the long run doesn't do any good because then they're depending on it too.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't give, if they don't need it, it should all be in their feed unless you're noticing these symptoms.
Uh-huh.
If you are noticing them for a week, give them the vitamins. And if they do better, then separate the bird and, you know, kind of like an experimentation. Don't give everybody it. If it's just one bird, that might just be an outcast. But if it's every bird, then you may have a problem.
Oh, great information. Oh, wow, chock full of information, and right on time. I've got 1:30 on the dot, so that was perfect timing and great part two of nutrition. And, folks, again, just a friendly reminder that part one of the nutrition can be listened to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as this show will be able to, so you can go back and get any information you might have missed or want to listen to again. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com, probably the easiest place to find it. But it's also iTunes.com, podcast.com, and Zune.com are some popular ones as well. So, Alexandra, thank you very much for joining us today. And I know you're due here for come back here in a couple of weeks. So we're looking forward to that and the next topic. And until then, we wish you the best. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing your knowledge.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All righty, that's going to wrap up another show, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And again, want to send another thank you out to Alexandra Douglas, the Quail Lady. You can find her on Facebook, Stellar Game Birds, and, of course, Alexandra Douglas. And we'll probably be posting again, like we always do after her shows, a link where you can purchase one of her two books or both of them if you like. And I know the book all about the Gatornix quail will have a special coupon code where you can get a discount on that. So you can follow along and make notes in her book that's doing very well. Because of this, again, 400 pages and chock full of information. So we'll have that as well on our Facebook page. So thank you very much for tuning in. Again, reminder, tomorrow I'll welcome Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, on the show talking all about long-term food storage. He is our homesteading and living a sustainable lifestyle expert. So we'll be looking forward to that show tomorrow. Until then, we hope you have a wonderful, wonderful fall day, and God bless everybody. Ha 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 ha